And we're good. Okay, thank you. Okay, today's daf is... Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Vavetziah Daf Mem. We are holding on the very top of Daf Mem Mem and Aleph, but we're going to backtrack to Lesof Asu Sahad. He's still in the middle of the story, but a better starting point, the middle of the story. Lesof Asu Asu Sahad, on the bottom of Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Le'ashal, and Hashem Hashem Aliyah. Also by Daniel Savian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. Also by Rabbi Bruckheimer in honor of the recent birth of a great granddaughter, Tavi Tal and Ellie Pressburger of Karmei Gat Mazel Tov. And also by Ari Baruch in memory of Ari's grandmother, Mrs. Gladys Baruch, Chana Tziril Bas Yechiel Michel, whose yard site is today, the Neshama Shav Naliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. First thing we're going to do is we're going to finish up that story where Murray Bar Isaac had a brother who he knew he had a brother, but he didn't recognize this fellow that's coming claiming to be his brother. And he had made all these improvements in the property, and now this guy is claiming that that all that property belongs to him as well because he's a Yoresh. So we had a whole discussion. We're in the middle of a whole discussion whether we believe the guy that he's actually his brother. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, the top Mishnah on Amud Aleph, is going to talk about the amount of an acceptable level of loss of value of a pikadon. We've been talking about, the previous Mishnah spoke about, if you notice that the pikadon that you're watching, the payros that you're watching, are losing value, so should you sell them, should you not sell them? Well, how much value is kidei chesronan? We already had that expression, is the normal amount of value to be lost over a period of time, whether through rotting or through mice eating it or whatever. How much do we assume is a normal loss of value over a period of time? Then the Gemara is going to have a discussion whether that loss is proportional to the volume or not. Meaning, do we assume that no matter how much produce you have, mice will eat until they're full, and then once they're full, they're not going to eat anymore. So it's going to be the same amount, whether you have a lot or a little, or do we assume that it's proportional to the volume? So the Gemara is going to discuss that a little bit. Then the next Mishnah is going to continue this discussion of the amount of loss that can be expected, but it's going to talk about wine and oil. And wine and oil just have different levels of expected loss based on what gets absorbed in the kli, based on when wine sours and things of that nature. The Gemara is going to talk about how much wine gets absorbed in kelim in different places. It could be that if you make barrels in different locations in the world, by using the dirt of those locations to build these barrels, some are more absorbent and some are less absorbent. It could be, it depends on what you line the barrels with pitch or tar or something, whether it's going to be absorbent at all, because part of the loss of wine is that it gets absorbed in the actual kelim. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas about returning, the Mishnah has a machlokas, but the Gemara is going to discuss the machlokas about returning shemen mizukak. If you return oil that is pure, so can you deduct from the amount that you were given, because now it is totally purified oil? And the Gemara is going to relate this to a machlokas whether someone who is selling oil is allowed to mix sediment back in if the oil is overly pure in order to reach the desired volume. Can I take the sediment and put it back in? So the Gemara is going to have two ways and two directions how that machlokas relates to our Mishnah. Then on the bottom of Amud Beis, we'll see if we get there, the Mishnah talks about if a Shomer is moving a pikadon and it breaks. So whose responsibility is that? He's got a pikadon in his house and he's watching, and as he's moving it, the pikadon breaks, or after he moves it, the pikadon breaks. So whose responsibility is that? So let's begin again from the bottom of Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, Lesof Asu Sahadi. So we were in the middle of this story over here where Mari Bar Isaac had this brother, and this guy came claiming to be the brother, and at first they said, okay, bring Raya that you're the brother. He said, I can't bring Adam. They're all terrified of this Mari Bar Isaac because he's such a gangster that he's going to hurt them. So they said, okay, Mari Bar Isaac. Rav Chista said, Mari Bar Isaac, you bring bring a raya that not your brother. Amari Bar Yisrael, that he's not your brother. Amari Bar Yisrael said, well, if you don't trust his edim, because they're going to be afraid to come, maybe my edim are going to lie to you and tell you that, you know, why my edim and your brother? No, we don't assume that edim are going to come and lie. It's one thing for edim not to show up and not get involved, but to show up and lie is a different story. So eventually witnesses came that in fact it was his brother, Sarmalay. So the brother, so that this brother that had showed up with the beard and they didn't recognize him, said to Rav Chista, Liflugli namimi pardisei bustani deshasal. I would like to also get an even portion of all the vineyards and all the other trees that he himself had planted. Meaning it's not just about the karka that we were yoresh, he made improvements to the karka. I want half of those improvements. Sarmalay, Rav Chista said, Shapir karmalach. Rav Chista said, yeah, it's correct. It's not, because the Mishnah says, when it comes to yorshim, hiniach banim gedolim uketalim, that if a person dies, and Rachmanel's son, he has young children, but he also has children over bar mitzvah, v'shpichu gedolim esanachasim, and the gedolim, the children over bar mitzvah made improvements to the properties of Shpich Lemtza. They have to split those improvements down the middle. So over here also, Mari Bar Yisak made these improvements. You got to split it down the middle. V'cheina Marabba, Hishpichu Lemtza. And Rabba also says that Hishpichu Lemtza. So that line, V'cheina Marabba, Rashi says, Lo Garsinan. There's no reason to be Gores. V'cheina Marabba, because it's not the derech of the Gemara to quote a Mishnah and say, and in case you don't like that Mishnah, you don't believe the Mishnah, Rabba said that way. Rabba's an Amora, and the Mishnah is a much stronger Maramakom. Why would we bring Rabba as an additional raya? Furthermore, Rabba was a Talmud of Rav Chista. Rav Chista is the Dayan over here. He's the one making the judgment over here. He's the one making the call over here. So he's going to bring a raya from one of his Talmidim. Unlikely that he would bring a raya from one of his Talmidim. So Rashi says, my preference is Lo Garsinan. Then he says, if you want to be Goresit, then it shouldn't be Rabba, it should be Rav. Because Rav was Rav Chista's Rabbi, and maybe you could say the Memra is needed because the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that the Mishnah is Dafka talking about in a case where the Gedolim were Mashpiach L'Nechasim without having to spend money and making an investment on it, but not when the Gedolim made an investment on it. So Rav Chista wants to bring the Memra of Rav to say that we don't pass it that way, even if he made investments in it in order to improve the property. Still Ashevach L'Emtza, still the improvements of the property gets split. So there is an additional chiddush that is being brought in the name of Rav. Tosfos writes that we could even be Gores Amar Rabba. And it's not Rav Chista talking, it's the Gemara saying that Rabba said something very similar to the Mishnah, and that just confirming that he paskin like Rav Chista, that this wasn't just a one-off psak that Rav Chista paskin based on this Mishnah, but that we now have a tradition of psak like this Mishnah, because Rabba said that way as well. Tosfos further says that according to that, Abaye, who was going to ask his kasha to Rabba, who was his rabbi, and Rabba didn't, meaning when the Amr Le Abaye is not to Rav Chista, meaning the next line is Amr Le Abaye, the Amr Le Abaye is to his rabbi Rabba, because once we have Rabba in the picture, in the conversation, so it's most mistaver that Abaye was talking to Rabba, who was his rabbi. But anyway, the pashtus is the Amr Le Abaye is back to Rav Chista, who was dealing with this case. So back in the Gemara, so Amr Le Abaye, so Abaye says to Rav Chista, Midami, how can you compare this to that Mishnah? Hasam, in the Mishnah we're talking about where the Banim Gedolim were the ones that improved the Nechasim Gedolim Gabi Ketanim Yadi V'Kamachli. The Gedolim know that the properties that they yarshin from their father also belong to the Ketanim, and therefore whatever they do to these properties is something that they're mochel, the efforts and the expenses that they're putting into improving these properties, because they're keenly aware of the fact that they're not the only Yoresh, that there are younger brothers as well, that there are children under Bar Mitzvah as well. Hacham mi yada delechel. But in the case of Mari Bar Yisak, he didn't know, he had no idea that there was a brother that was going to show up. So how can you say that he was mochel when he made that investment? He's not mochel. So Galgal Nusal Masal Kamed Rabbi Ami. This whole story with the Psak of Rav Chista got to Rabbi Ami's desk somehow. So Amar Luhu, Rabbi Ami said to the Talmidim, Gedolim Izu. I'll tell you even more. There's a halacha that we've been discussing that we're maridin karov lenichsei shavui. That if a person is being held captive, we have a karov take care of the properties, and he knows that those nechasim do not belong to him, and when when the Bailim come back, the Bailim are going to take those nechasim right back. And Amru Shamalem Ka'aris, we said that we give that Karov a chelek in whatever improvements he makes in that property, and the Peros like you would give an Aris. So Hashta Didei Lo Yavinulei. So in this story, where Mari Barisuk is actually a half owner of the property, you're not going to at least give him that? You're not going to at least make the brother pay him like an Aris for all the improvements he made in the property and all the payrolls that he has? So you're going to just do 50-50, that he gets his 50% and the brother gets the other 50%? Even if you have zero ownership of the property, you get paid like an Aris. So why in his own property shouldn't he at least get paid like an Aris for the improvements that he made? So they ran back to Rav Chista with this kasha that they just got from Rabbi Ami. So Rav Chista said to the Talmidim, it's not such a great kasha. Me dummy, how can you compare this to the case of Maridin Karov, the Nichse Shavui? Hasam, in the case of Shamalem Ka'aris, of Nichse Shavui, Birishos Nachis. Now, when the Karov went to take care of those Nechasim, Beis Din permitted him to do that. Not just permitted him, Beis Din encouraged him to do that. Someone needs to take care of this property while the man is in captivity. Hachalav Birishos Nachis. But over here, Mari Barisak did not get Rishos from Beis Din to go to his brother's Nechasim and do as he pleased with his brother's Nechasim. So he wasn't doing it Birishos, and therefore he's not entitled to payment like an artist. Va'od, and even if he had asked Beis Din, still, Katanu, Vein Moridin Karov, Lenichse Katan. Mari Barisuk's brother at the time was a Katan, and you don't put a Karov in the Nechasim of a Katan, so the whole comparison to the Din is a Din that doesn't apply to a Katan. So you can't make a comparison to a Din that doesn't apply to a Katan at all. So Adruel Kamed Rabbi Ami, the Talmidim brought that Taina of Rav Chista back to Rabbi Ami now. So Amalahu, Rabbi Ami, they probably just should have gotten Rabbi Ami and Rav Chista together, but it was, I guess, fun for them to run back and forth. So they brought that Taina back to Rabbi Ami. So they said, yeah, Rav Chista is correct about that. If it's a katan, then it's a whole different story. You can't compare. He said, Lo Saimua Kamei de Katan, who, you guys never told me that it was a katan. You just told me that there was a brother. You never told me that that at the time that he last saw the brother, he was a katan. Remember, that was critical to the story, right? That the last time he saw the brother, he was a katan, because that's why he didn't recognize him now that he was a gadol and he had a beard, just like the brothers didn't recognize Yosef, because the last time they saw him, he was a katan. Okay, so moving on to the Mishnah now. So the Mishnah discusses pikadon with that decreases in value over time, and how much of a decrease do we expect? So mafkid peros eitzel chavero. If someone gives a pikadon of peros to somebody else to watch, hareze yotzi lo chesronos. You could return less than, you could deduct a certain amount from what he had given to you when you return it. You can return less than what he's actually given to you, and it's based on what he gave you. V'chitim ala ores. If he gave you wheat or rice, so tisha chatzai kav and lakor, then it's 9 chatzi kavs, 4.5 kav for each kor that he gives you. A kor has 30 sa'a in it, a sa'a has 6 kavim in it, so less than 1/30th of what he gave you is assumed to be a loss that the wheat or the rice has, and therefore you can give minus that volume. If it's barley or millet, I think dochen is, so tisha kabin lakor, then it's 9 kav for a kor, not tisha chatzai kabin, twice that amount. It's 9 kav for a kor. L'kusmin l'zera pishtan, if it was kusmin l'zera pishtan, so shalosh se'in l'kor, then way more, then it's 3 se'in for a kor. Remember, a kor is 30 sa'a, so this is a 10% loss. Hakol l'fi amida, that everything is based on each kor, meaning if it's for each kor. So if he gave 10 kor, so it's not shalosh se'in, it's shloshim se'in. Right? It's all going to be based on how much hakol l'fi azman, and also based on, that's the amount of loss that happens in a year. So if you were watching it for 2 years, it's twice that amount, and 3 years, 3 times that amount. So it's all based on how much in terms of volume and how long you had it. But these numbers are based on one kor for 1 year, per kor per year. So Amar Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, Rav Yochanan says, What do you mean per corporate? Why would the mice care how much there is in volume? The mice are going to eat till they're full, and then they'll stop eating. So they don't care if there's one core, if there's 10 core, if there's 5 core. They're going to eat the same amount. So why would you assume it depends on volume? You're only going to deduct this from the first core. You're not going to deduct this from anything beyond the first core. Meaning if there are 5 core chitin, so you're still only shechatzai kavin for the entire year. Even though it was 5 core, it wasn't 1 core. Fractosos, based on this svara, even if it was a chatzi core, you should still take out tishachatzai kavin. Meaning, even if it was less than a core, why does it say that the chesronos are l'kor echad bilvad? Forget about kor echad bilvad. No matter how much it is, even if it's way less. So Tosos says, no, if it was less, then the achbarim are going to actually eat less, because there's less space to hide, and achbarim don't like to eat if they can't hide. So when there's less space to hide, it's likely that they're going to eat less. The Meiri says that ain't a chinami if he gives you less. So then you're menaka the shear that it says in the Mishnah from that lesser amount. Meaning the Meiri just says ain't a chinami. If it doesn't matter, according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, if it doesn't matter, if the volume doesn't matter, the volume doesn't matter whether it's a lot more in volume or whether it's a lot less in volume. The Ravid says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that chatzi of the shir of the chesronos is because of achilas achbarim, and half of it is because of rikavon aperos. Meaning, not all the loss in the food is a result of mice. Some of it is a result of just spoilage. So he says you have to take that into the cheshbon. The Ravid is quoting the Shittim Kuvetz says that ein chinami, mice will eat the same from a large amount and from a small amount. Let's assume, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, they'll eat the same from a large amount and a small amount, but the recovery of payros is not going to be the same. The routing of the food is going to be more for more food and less for less food. It's interesting. Tosfos over here, Tosfos says, and what are the Rabbanim going to respond? Do the Rabbanim think that mice eat more when they see that there's more food? Right? That's the Gemara in the first paragraph of Pesachim, where the Gemara says, well, if the Chulda knows that there's not so much chametz that's going to be around, so he's going to hide some away because he knows that, and he's not going to eat it right away. And the Gemara says, is the Chulda Neviyah that it knows what's coming, what's not. So do we have mice doing cheshbonos like this? That, oh, there's so much more food here, so I might as well eat to my heart's content, as opposed to let me just eat a little bit because there's not so much food over here. How are the Rabbanim going to respond to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? So Tosfos quotes, V'tamed Rabbanim, the Mefarish B'Yushalmi, Hani Achbari, Rishi'in Inhu. Mice are Rishoim. Kad Chamyon, Ibo Loma Stayu Da'achli, El Yekarin L'Chavrein Da'achli Mon. If they see that there's a lot, it's not just that the mice eat, they call all their friends, and they bring their friends along also. So if there's a larger volume, there's going to be more mice. And that's why, yeah, there's going to be more eating. It's not that the mouse eats more, but the more food there is, the more it's attracting mice, and therefore it's going to attract even more mice if there's more food. That expression comes up in an interesting context. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where someone asks Rav Moshe whether it's a violation of Tzar Bali Chaim to kill like bugs and cockroaches and mice and things like that. Is that a violation of to kill a pest? Is it a violation of Tzar Bali Chaim? So he says, no, it's mitzar a person. It's gross to have these things around the house, and anything that's l'tzaruch ha'adam, there's no isra of Tzar Bali Chaim. The Torah allows shchita l'tzaruch achilas ha'adam. So and zakin v'enu l'fi kvodo is not chayiv in the prika of a behema that's rovetzes tachas masa'a, even though the behema is mitzta'er, because anything that's l'tzaruch ha'adam is not going to be considered Tzar Bali Chaim. And he explains that there's an inyan of Tzar Bali Chaim by bnei chuldas because a chulda was not considered to be a pest. A chulda, the Gemara is going to say later on in this Masechta about a chulda is considered to be something that keeps your house clean. It gets rid of whatever other things are in your house, so it wasn't considered to be a pest. But Rav Moshe says, look, you're allowed to kill these things, you're allowed to kill a bug, you shouldn't do it with your bare hands, because that's going to teach you a sense of achzorius, and you don't want to have a teva of an achzori. He quotes an Orchayim HaKadosh on the Torah, that the Torah is maftiach to Beis Din, that kills the anchi or nidachas, that they're not going to become cruel cruel people because of the fact that they had to basically wipe out an entire city. So he says, what we see from that is that you need such a haftacha, because the natural inclination is that as you do cruel things, you become a more cruel person. So Moshe, ever so sensitive, said, if you're going to kill a bug, do it with a shoe. Don't do it directly with your bare hands. There's a certain achzarius to doing it with your bad hands. So in the Panini Halacha section, in the back of the Masifta, he quotes, I don't know who, he says, Yesh sheheviu ke'ein raya l'dinze. Some bring like a shtickle raya to this from our Tosos, that the Tosos refers to Achbarim as Rishaim. So you see that because they're referred to as Rishaim, there's no issur to kill them. Okay, I think he was just an expression that was saying that more mice are going to come, but Ramosh is obviously correct anyway. I mean, you don't need the fact that we refer to them as Rishayim. Okay, so that's the discussion of the Mishnah. One more line in the Mishnah, another Shita. If there were a lot of peros, then you don't deduct the chesronos because the peros themselves expand. That typically you give someone a pikadon in the summertime. You give a peros a pikadon in the summertime when things are very dry. There's not much moisture in the air. And he's going to get his peros back in the wintertime when it's much more moist, so the peros will have expanded. So if you give him back the same amount in the winter that you received in the summer, you're actually giving him back less, which already accounts for the chesronos, because all the peros themselves, there's an afichas haperos, there's an expansion, a swelling of the peros. So now the Mishnah said that tisha chatzai kavin for each quart of orez. So says Gemara, orez, tuva chaser. Rice, typically you lose a lot more than that than tisha chatzai kavin for a quart. So we're talking about orez kalof, that it's the derech for it to lose a little bit less when it's peeled rice. Okay, lekusmin lezara pishtan shlosha se'in lekor. We said for kusmin for zara pishtan it's three se'in for a kor. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Am Rabbi Chia, zara pishtan begivolin shanu. That the givolin, the stalks, tend to dry and fall off, and therefore the shear of the chisaron is much greater when it's in the stalks. But zera pishton without the givolin, without the stalks, it will be a much smaller loss. So tani namiachi lukusman zera pishton be givolin laorez she'ein okalif shloshasa in lakur. So you see that first of all we were talking about orez kalif before, because if it's orez she'ein okalif, we said shloshasa in lakur, and you see be givolin that the shear that we're talking about is only when it's big givolin, but if it was not in its stalks, then the loss would be much, much less. Hakalafi amida. So Tanakam said it all depends on the amount and on the zman. So Tana kein lekol kor v'kor, that this shear is for each kor, it's per kor v'chein lekol shana v'shana, and it's for per year. So this is per kor per year. That's the numbers that we have listed in the Mishnah. Then we had said Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, I don't understand. Why should it be per kor that this is the amount for each kor? The mice are going to eat till they're not hungry anymore, and they don't care if there's a lot more left. They're just not going to eat anymore. So Tanya, Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan, Lacham said to Rabbi Yochanan, Eino chinami, the mice are going to eat more when there are more. Even if the mice do not eat more when there are more peros, but harbe ovdos mehen, harbe mispazros mehen, they scatter them around and they destroy them in other ways. So they may not eat more, but they're still going to destroy more peros when there are more peros. So Gemara explains, the Tanav Hamedvar, when do we say that the Shomer could deduct from that which the peros have lost is she'irvan in perosav. That's if he mixed these peros that he was watching with his own peros, so he has no idea how much the actual loss was. Meaning, why do we have to give numbers for the loss? Just see how much is left. Meaning, if a guy gave you a box of wheat, so give him back the box of wheat, and he'll count how much is missing from the mice and from whatever else. Not your responsibility. Whatever it lost, it lost. So we're saying, no, these numbers are for when it's incalculable. There's no way to calculate the loss because you had mixed it with your own payrolls, so you don't know how much of your own payrolls were lost and how much of this. But if you just put it in a corner of your house somewhere, just give it right back to him. And why should it be any worse if you mix it with your own payrolls? Even if you mix it with your own payrolls, just take a look at how much of your own payrolls were in the mix, and you'll figure out proportionally, meaning if it was half the other guy's payrolls and half my payrolls, and it lost X amount, so half X is the loss for the other guy. So what's so hard to do such a cheshbon? So it says, mistopic, ma'am. No, it's payrolls that you kept on eating from. So you couldn't keep track because you kept on taking from there. So v'lachzika mistopic. Okay, but I'm sure you kept track of how much you took from there. No, you didn't. The loyadi kamistopic. You didn't keep track of how much you took. So you don't know what percentage of this pile was your payrolls and was his payrolls. You know, obviously there must have been some loss to it because it was a long time, but you don't know how much of the loss was yours and how much of the loss was his. That's where our Mishnah comes in, that if he gave you a quarter of payrolls, this is what you assume for each quarter, for each year. That's the reason we need our Mishnah. But in a chinami, if he just gave you something and you just put it aside, you give back whatever he gave you, and whatever the loss is, it is. That's not your problem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, if it was midam ruba, so then you don't have to worry about the chesronos. You just give, meaning you can't give back any less. You give back the full amount, and you assume that covers chesronos. So kama midam ruba, how much is midam ruba? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, asara korin. If it's 10 korin, tani nami yochi, kama midam ruba is asara korin. That's when you're not menaka. You don't deduct anything because of the chesronos. So tani tana kamed Rav Nachman, the tana that taught Mishnayos and Brisos, taught in front of Rav Nachman, b'medvar memurim shamad lo mitoch gorno. When do we say that you can deduct these chesronos? That's only when the shomer received the payros that were measured right by the goren, right by the silo, the hechzer lo mitoch gorno, and he returned it to him in the same place, in the same measure, and therefore we have to figure out how much the payros were nechzer. Aval madlo lo mitoch gorno v'hechzer lo mitoch beso. But if he had measured out to give to the shomer mitoch gorno, and you returned it mitoch beso, then ain't the yotzilo chesronos meishem asiros. Then you don't deduct the chesronos because you assume that that they have swelled in some way or another. Not that they have swelled, but at this point in the Gemara is assuming, we assume the measuring utensils in the house are slightly smaller than the measuring utensils in the goren. So if they measure something to be a sa'a in the goren, it's actually a larger box is a sa'a than the more accurate sa'a box that a person keeps in the house. So if you gave me a sa'a in the goren and I return you a sa'a from the house, I'm giving you back less than you gave me. So that already accounts for the chisaron. Well, we're dealing with idiots. Diavi b'kayla rabba v'shakli b'kayla zuta. That give payrolls in a large measure and take them back in a smaller measure. Dilma be most hagorim kamer. No, maybe we're not talking about that. They're just changing the size of the boxes. It means it's seasonal. That b'med var mamurim. When do we deduct the amount that it lost? Shema lo be most hagorim. That he measured it out for him in the summertime. The most hagorim is the summertime. The hichzel lo be most hagorim, and he returned it in the summertime. Avmad lo be most hagorim. Hichzel lo be most hagisham. Him, but if he had measured it out for him and given him the pikadon in the summertime, and then he returned it in the wintertime when there's so much more moisture in the air, then you don't deduct the chisaron because of the moisture, the tevua itself expands. So if you give back the same volume of tevua, you're actually giving back less. So you've already accounted for the chisaron. If that's true, that the peros swell a little bit in the yemos hageshamim, so in the case where you were given a closed box, a closed barrel, lifkakada, why don't we assume that if you were given a closed barrel in the summertime, that in the wintertime the barrel should just burst, right? Because if it was the same amount of produce, no mice got to it, it was closed, it was sealed, why don't we just see a burst from swelling up? So have uvdo pakakados. It says, "Well, yeah, that happens every once in a while. It actually does swell enough to even burst the barrel." Ibai say mishumitza. Others say because the it just applies more pressure to the barrel, but the barrels are pretty strong, so they don't burst. But einachinami, it fills in every little airspace in the barrel gets filled in as the grain swells. So the swelling of the grain is actually a real thing, says the Gemara. Okay, new Mishnah. So again, we're still on the same topic. The Mishnah is talking about how much do we deduct based on expected losses. But now we talk about wine and oil. So it's 1/6 of the volume for wine. That's how much we assume gets absorbed in the kankanim, in the jugs. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chomesh. Rabbi Yehuda says 1/5. Yotzi l'shlosh lugin shemin l'meya lug umechsa shemarim. L'meya and lug umechsa shemarim. We assume that 3 lug of shemen for each 100 and 1.5 lug of sediment, lug umechsa bala, and 1.5 lug that was that gets absorbed by the kankanim. So that makes a total of 3 lug, meaning when you give back oil, you can deduct 3 log. 1.5 log gets absorbed by the barrels, and 1.5 log is this sediment. Im hayashemen mezukak, if it was pure oil that was already, there was no sediment in it, it was clear oil, ain yotz the shemarim, then you cannot deduct the amount for the shemarim, because the shemen mezukak doesn't have any shemarim. Im hayu kankanim yishanim, if there were old jugs that he was that was provided in, ain yotz the bela, then you assume that there was no blia in the jugs, because the jugs were already fully saturated with blios. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afa Mocher Shem Mezukak L'Chaveru Kol Yimos Hashana, Hareza Mekabel Logu Mechsa Shemarim L'Meya, that even if you sell someone shemen mezukak throughout the year, the shemen was by the mocher, and you just come and take a little bit at a time throughout the year, so still the kona is mekabel 1.5 log of shmarim that get lost for each mea log, meaning if you paid for 100 log, your bill is up once you receive 98.5 log. Because you assume that 1.5 log of shemarim was in the sale price. Says Mar Velo Pliki, Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda do not actually disagree about how much wine is lost. Remember, one of them said 1/6 and the other one said 1/5. Mark Yasrei, they were talking about in different locations. Basri Demar, where the Tanakam lived, Chavtu Bikira, they would line the barrels with wax on the inside, Velo Mayitz Tvei, and therefore would absorb very little. Basri Demar, Chavu Bikufra, in the place of Rabbi Yehuda, they would line the barrels with a type of zephes, umayitz tvei, and it would therefore absorb a little bit more. Iba yisei mishum gargishta, ha mayitz tvei, ha lo mayitz tvei, or it's just based on the ground, the adama of their locations that they would make the barrels out of. Some ground is more absorbent and some less absorbent. Basid Rabbi Yehuda, so the Gemara brings a Maisa that in this, where Rabbi Yehuda lived, Ramu Arboim V'tamni Kuzi B'dana, they would have a measurement called a Kuza. So there was 48 Kuzim that would fill a barrel. Vazal Dana B'shita Zuzi, and the price of a barrel was 6 Zuz. Paris Rabbi Yehuda Shita Bezuza. And Rabbi Yehuda was a chenveni. When he'd sell the wine at the end of the year, he would sell 6 kuzim for a zuz. So Dal Talasin Vishisa. So take 36 kuzim, the first 36 that he sold, Bishita, and that was, he got 6 zuz for that, which is what he bought the entire barrel for, meaning so the whole barrel was 48 kuzim. And when he sold his first 36 kuzim, he made back his money, right? He made back the 6 kuzim that he spent on it. Pashalu Tresar, so now there are 12 left, right? So he's got 12 kuz of profit to make. Nah, not exactly. Zil Tamanya, Dal Tamanya Shasusi, take from the 12 another 8 kuzim, which is 1/6 of the barrel, because we said the barrel absorbs 1/6 of the volume. So 1/6 of the volume you just write off as a loss. So if he started with 48, 8 of it you could just write off as a loss. So if his whole profit margin to begin with was only 12, and 8 of it is a loss, so how much is it? Pashalu Arba. So all he makes is 4 kuzin. So says Gemara, what an awful businessman. Didn't we learn that someone who profits should not profit more than 1/6? So why did Rabbi Yehuda accept so much less than the 6th? It sounds like you should be aiming for 1/6 profit, and he's only getting 4 kuz of profit on 36 kuz investment. That's 1/9. So ikukul for yishmarya. Now there's also some profit from selling the barrel itself, the jug itself, and the sediment as well. Iachi nafshli tvei mishus. Wait a second. Now he's making more than 1/6, and that's not right. Ika tircha demer brazenaisa. No, because there's also a tircha that he puts in a lot of work, so he gets paid for his work, and also the money that he paid for the person for advertising, that also costs money. So there are other business expenses. that he deserves. So the profit is still comes out to right about 1/6, which is the right amount of profit. We said if it was Shemin Mezukak, then you do not deduct the amount for the Shemarim. But the Kankat must have absorbed something. Why aren't you being motzi for that? So Rav Nachman, we're talking about barrels that are sealed, and therefore they don't absorb. No, not that they're sealed barrels, that there's a sealant on the barrel to prevent it from absorbing, but simply that the barrel is already fully saturated with absorption, and therefore it's not going to absorb anymore. Rabbi Yehuda, Merav Mocher Shem Mezukak Lechveru, Kali Mos Hashana, Harizah Mekabel Levluch Mechza Shmarim Lumeya, that if I pay the storekeeper for 100 log of oil, when I get 98 and a half log, I'm done, because we knock off 1.5 for the Shemarim. So Amar Abai, Kishatim Tzolomar, Lediv Rabbi Yehuda, Mutzal Arif Shemarim, Lediv Recham, Asal Arif Shemarim. If you're medaktik in this machlokas, you'll find out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you sell Shemen Stam, and then what you provide is Shemen Mezukak, you're allowed to mix in Shemarim with that Shemen Mezukak in order to turn it into Shemen Stam. But according to the Chamim, you're not allowed to do that. Lediv Rabbi Yehuda, Mutzal Arif Shemarim. How do I know that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to mix in the Shemarim? V'hainu Taiva, that's the reason that he says in our Mishnah, the mekabel, that the lokeach is mekabel 1.5 lug less. Because the storekeeper could say, look, if you want the full 100 lug, I could just mix in a lug and a half of shmarim and just give it to you like that. But you'd rather have pure oil. So I'm not mixing in the shmarim. So you have to accept a smaller volume. So ashtanami kabel. So you take 98.5. Vilei malei, why can't the lokeach say to the mokri, avidli have a mizdavinli? Look, if you would have mixed in the shmarim into the shemen and given me a full 100 lug that was not mezukak, so I could have sold those shmarim that were mixed in. But now that you didn't mix it in, what am I going to do? No one's going to. There's no way I'm able to sell shmarim on their own. So it says, "My bal bayis haskin dinichle betzila." No, we're talking about a bal bayis who'd rather have pure oil. He's not interested in having oil that's full of sediment. So v'lei malei, why can't the bal bayis say to the mocher, "Midlo arvisli achuli achlutli"? Maybe from the fact that you didn't mix in the shmarim to the oil, that's megaladas that you're mochel me on that. So give me the full mea log. So Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, Rabbi Yehuda's l'shitaso, d'lesle mechila. He doesn't hold this svara of mechila, that just because he gave you pure oil, it means that he's mochel on the shemarim. D'tanan, because it says in the Mishnah, machalo asatzemed, if a Mishnah babasra, that if a person sells a yoke of oxen, lo machalo asabakar, we do not assume that the oxen are included, that the cattle are included in that sale, because they're not tafel to the yoke. And if you sell the cattle, we don't assume that the yoke is included. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says sometimes when you sell the tzemed, the bakar is also included. Hadam modin, because if you could see by the price, by the purchase price, that it's more inclusive. So then you know, obviously, if you paid it an exorbitant sum, obviously it's more inclusive than just the yoke. Ketzad, Amr lo machar li tzemed chubim asayim zuz. If he says, sell me your yoke for 200 zuz, and that's way too expensive. Everyone knows that that's not the price, and obviously it means to include the bakar as well. The Chacham say that the damim is not a raya. It could be that he's being mochel on the extra money. So you see, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't assume mechila. If the price is way too high, it's way too high, and therefore it must include more. There's no assumption of mechila. So Abaye goes on to say, and the divrei Chachamim asul arif shmarim. According to the Chachamim, you're not allowed to mix in the sediment when you sell something, when you sell shemen that otherwise would have been mezukak, v'hainu taima d'lo mekabel, and the reason is that the lokeach is not mekabel the logo mechz of shemarim in our Mishnah, da'amar lei, because the Kohen could say to the mocher, ibayis l'arui v'me'av v'shari lach. Look, if you wanted to mix sediment in to the oil, you would not be permitted to do that. So ashtanami lo mekabelina. So I don't have to accept any less than the 100 logs that I paid for, meaning you have to provide for me 100 logs. log, if you had 98 and a half log, you would not be allowed to just use filler to fill up the 100. So give me my full 100 without any filler. So I would have said that the machlokes in our mission is just the opposite. That l'divrei chachamim mutur la'arif shmarim. That according to the chachamim, you're allowed to be ma'arif the shmarim. Hainu time d'lo makabel. And the reason it's not makabel is da'amalei. The fact that you weren't, that you didn't mix it in shows that you were mochalmi. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda asur la'arif shmarim. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to mix in the shmarim. Hainu time d'lo makabel. And the reason l'okeach is willing to take 98.5, even though the guy is not allowed to mix in shmarim, da'amalei, bay la'ruvi lo shari lach la'ruvi lach. That if I wanted to mix in the sediment for you, I can't because it's usher kabuli la makbalta. And if you were not makabel a lugu mechso shmarim, it turns out that that I don't have any profit whatsoever from this mechira. So I wouldn't sell it to you in such a way. Zavon v'zabin tagri ikri. If someone sells without any profit, you think he's a merchant? I have to make some profit somewhere along the way, and therefore it's assumed that you're going to take 98 and a half. Tana echra lekech vechra mafkid lepkatim. Both the lekech and a shomer have the same din when it comes to pekatim. My pekatim, what exactly is the pekatim? Ile mikiyechi de lekech lo makabel pekatim. If you can say that just like a lekech who comes to buy is not makabel pekatim and he's chayiv to sell the shemen without pekatim. Pekatim is whatever junk is in the oil. So mafkid nami lo makabel pekatim. The mafkid also has to return the shemen without the pekatim and they have the same din. Why can't he say, you gave me this lousy oil, take back this lousy oil. Why do I have to improve your oil? Take such a thing. So says, okay, I'm going to have to do this tomorrow. Okay, we'll start again from Tana Echol Lokech Echadai Hamafkid. As Hashem, we'll start from there tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone. Take care.